coming up on our best of 2020 edition of sports and stuff. I'll recap just how crazy of a year that's been this year in sports and entertainment. We'll recap some of our best moments here on sports and stuff and get you caught up on a very busy week 16 in the NFL as a lot of playoff implications are up for grabs. All this and the start of the basketball season as well are coming up on sports and stuff. Our best of 2020 edition is brought to you by Magic City Hi-Li. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. Welcome to Sports and Stuff. Glad you could join us this week, everybody. I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful holiday this past week. I know I did. I got to spend it with my baby nephew of 2 months old, which was very nice. And I hope you had a nice holiday with your family and friends as well. I'm John Meisner, your host, and for the final time in 2020, I say welcome to Sports and Stuff. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this week, so I'm not going to waste any time. We're going to get right into things here, starting with, as we have been the last few months, a recap of scores and highlights from Week 16 NFL, starting with a Christmas Day game. You don't see many of those. It was played on Christmas Day between the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. That was a wild game. That was a very high-scoring game. The Saints won that game 52-33 over Minnesota. That's pretty much the way the Saints like it. High scoring, fast pace, a lot of action, a lot of touchdowns. Saints win that game. And a few Saturday games for you since the college football season ended. The Buccaneers crushed the Detroit Lions. Tom Brady threw for 4 touchdown passes in the first half en route to a 47-7 victory over Detroit. Tampa Bay currently occupies one of the 3 wild card spots in the NFC. The 49ers beat the Arizona Cardinals 20-12 on Saturday. The Dolphins squeaked by the Raiders, who got knocked out as a result of them losing to the Dolphins 26-25. By 1 point, the Dolphins win that game and maintain a wild card spot. And as far as the other games go on Sunday, the Ravens beat the Giants 27-13. I'm going to talk about the NFC East in a minute here. Believe it or not, the Jets beat the Cleveland Browns. A big upset there, 23-16. That's right, the Jets beat the Browns? Like, what? Yeah, they actually did win that game. Yeah, the Jets have actually been good in December. They've lost their first 13 games in a row, but they've won the last 2 in a row. So they make it a little more difficult for the Browns to get into the playoffs with their second win of the year. The Bears beat the Jaguars 41-17. Chicago is 8-7. They're trying to get in on the last week of the season. The Chiefs 14. Now, this was a really exciting finish. The Chiefs score a touchdown in the final 2 minutes to take the lead, and the Falcons, going down the field late, miss a 39-yard field goal as time expires. They've lost a lot of those this year, a lot of these close games. That's why they are where they are right now, with only 4 wins on the year. So with that win, the Chiefs lock up the number. The Bengals beat the Texans 37-31. The Steelers beat the Colts in a very, very good game, 28-24. The Colts were up early in this game by halftime. They were up 24-7. Looked like they were going to blow out the Steelers. But the Steelers come back in the fourth quarter. They get 3 touchdowns, 3 touchdown passes from Ben Roethlisberger. And that was what made them come back in this game. Boy, what a terrific comeback by the Steelers, who had lost 3 in a row and looked like they were going to lose their 4th straight. But Ben Roethlisberger said, no, not on my watch. He came back to win that game, and with that, the Steelers actually win the division. They wrap up the AFC North, and it's all as good in Pittsburgh. The Panthers beat the Washington football team 20-13, which means the NFC East is still up for grabs. If Washington had won that game, they would have won the division, but so far they have not. That's actually still up for grabs, that even as bad as of a division as that is. Still up for grabs. The Chargers beat the Broncos 19-16. Cowboys beat the Eagles pretty convincingly, 37-17 by 20 points. Cowboys are still in it. Washington's still in it. Even the Giants are still in it. but the Eagles are not. The Seahawks win their division with a win against the LA Rams, 20-9. They wrap up their division in the NFC West. And the Packers beat the Titans on Sunday Night Football by a final score of 40-14. And with that, I believe the Packers clinch a one seed. They clinch the top seed with a win against the Titans. So they get the advantage now with the third wild card this year, and only the top seed getting a first round bye. The one seed is big. It's the difference between 1 and 2 this year. So the Packers will have the one seed in the NFC. The Chiefs will have the one seed in the AFC. So they're the only teams that are going to have first round byes when the playoffs start. And then the Monday night game tomorrow night will be, or I should say, well, Monday night at the time recording this. Bills versus Patriots, meaningless game really for both teams. The Bills have already won their division and the Patriots are out of it. So there you have it. That's pretty much week 16 for you. A lot of playoff implications to go around, though. Like I said, the Steelers won their division with a very big come-from-behind win against the Colts. That's huge for both teams because the Colts are now on the outside looking in. As far as the division goes, they are 10-5. The Titans, who lost to the Packers, like I just mentioned, they are also 10-5. So that last week of the season is going to come down to the division, and one team may not even possibly get in. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have one of the three wild card spots. The Miami Dolphins have another, and the third is either going to be pretty much either the Colts or the Titans at this point, unless the Ravens win and then one of those other teams loses, which would make things even more complicated because only three teams can get in and not four. So the league will work that out somehow. They have tiebreakers. But still, I mean, that AFC South is, boy, that's such an exciting race to look at. The Colts and the Titans, two good teams. One of them may not even get in, possibly, depending on how week 17 goes. I personally want to see, I don't really see the playoffs, but I am concerned about the Cleveland Browns. That was a bad loss to a bad team, the Jets. They should have beat that team. The Jets don't have anything to play for at this point. I mean, they're pretty much playing for draft positioning. Not playoff positioning, of course, but I mean, I just hope for Cleveland's sake they get in. It's been a long time since they've been in the playoffs. It's been 17 seasons, and I'd love to see Baker Mayfield and that team and get in. I mean, Cleveland is a football city, so I really do want to see him get in. I mean, if the Patriots can't make it, hopefully the Cleveland Browns can. They definitely deserve to this year. They've played well enough to get there. They just got to finish the deal and win their last game. So that's the story with Cleveland. In the NFC East, all Washington needs to do next week is win, and they clinch the division. They were unable to clinch it this week, but all they have to do next week is win, and they will win the division. As far as the Giants and the Eagles go, that's where it gets a little dicey. So much so that I actually have to have to find the playoff implications here as best I can. So just bear with me here. So much I couldn't even remember all of it. So yeah, like I said, Washington, all they have to do is win, and they clinch the division. And as far as the Giants and the Eagles go, let's see. So I scroll down here. Cowboys can win the division if they beat the Giants and Washington loses. So the Cowboys need a win, and the Washington football team needs to lose to the Eagles for the Cowboys to win the NFC East. The Giants, on the other hand, they can win the division if they beat the Cowboys and Washington loses. So they'd have to. So basically, Dallas has to win and Washington has to lose for the Cowboys to win the division. The Giants can win if the division if they win and Washington loses. So that Dallas New York game next week is going to be big, very, 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 very pivotal. If the Giants win against the Cowboys, they go to 6-10. They would tie the Cowboys 6-10. The Washington's now 6-9. If Washington loses and the Giants win next week, then we got a real problem here. Then all three teams are 6-10, and they'd have to. Then they got to figure out how to break the tie with that. It'd be kind of funny, actually, if they but if that happened. I mean, Washington is playing the Eagles, and the Eagles are out of it, so we'll see what happens in that one. But yeah, I don't know who to pick, honestly. I mean the Cowboys did play very well against the Eagles. They have played better defensively the last couple weeks, so you know, they could win that division. I mean, Washington has been playing well too. The Giants haven't been playing well. I don't think they're gonna quite make it. But you know, but between those losing teams, between Dallas and Washington, you know, I'd have to say Dallas. I think the Cowboys are gonna win it. You know, I didn't think so a week or two ago, but I mean, I think they could get it now. Andy Dalton's been playing well for the Cowboys, so I mean, they got a good defense that's been heating up, so yeah, they actually could get in. We'll see what happens. And there's a few teams still in the hunt as well, like I mentioned, the Cowboys, Giants. The other team that's trying to get in is the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to need some help. They're going to need to win their last game and expect the Chicago Bears to lose. So they need help. And the Rams are still trying to make the playoffs. It's likely they'll get in, but it's not, nothing's a guarantee. They're going to need to either win their last game or expect the Bears to lose. So basically the Bears have to lose to help other teams. So they should be able to. I think the Rams will win their last game. They should get in. Tampa's already clinched the playoff spot with that big convincing win over Detroit. Like I said, they want to make sure they got in, and they did. So yeah, boy, that NFC East is just, I keep calling it the NFC Least, and it's yeah, it's just such a bad division. I mean, in all honesty, I think even if the Cowboys win that division or whoever wins it, I just don't see them going far in the playoffs. I would be very surprised if they win even one playoff game, to be honest. That's just how I feel. I misspoke actually a minute ago. The Packers did not clinch the NFC's number one seed. They clinched the division, but they did not win the number one spot. So all Green Bay has to do to get the seed next week is either just simply win, or if there is another scenario, if they lose, then they could still get home field advantage if the Seattle Seahawks lose to the San Francisco 49ers. And Seattle would have the tiebreaker, apparently, if they finish 12-4. Don't know if they played against each other this season or not, but they would probably come down to division. It's whoever had the better record against their division, I think. But anyway, all the Packers have to do next week is win or expect the Bears to lose. Either way, they should get the number one seed. I think they're definitely going to... They should get it. If New Orleans wins and Green Bay loses, then that would be kind of interesting, actually. but anyway, a lot of scenarios here. I love seeing all this stuff this time of year. So anyway, there you have it. That's hope everybody understood all that. If not, you could just rewind and go back and listen later on. So that's week 16. A lot of meaningful games next week, though, especially in the NFC East. The Giants play the Cowboys. And Washington is going to play the Eagles. So that's going to decide it all next week, who wins those games. And, of course, you've got the number one seed up for grabs in the NFC. Ravens are still trying to get in, I believe. Ravens are still in the hunt as well. I forgot to mention them. Let's see, the Ravens. Let's see here. Ravens. Yeah, all they have to do is win their last game against the Bengals. The Bengals aren't good, so they should be able to beat Cincinnati. But even if they don't, they could still get in if the Browns or the Colts lose. Hopefully it won't come down to that. They should beat the Bengals. Bengals are bad, so I think they'll pretty much hand that one over to the Ravens. So Ravens should get in. It's highly likely they will. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, of course, but, you know, they should get in. It's just a shame there's only three wildcard teams this year. I kind of wish there was four, because the Titans and Colts are both so good. I mean, either them or the Ravens or the Browns, one of those teams is not going to make it. I kind of feel bad. I wish they could all make it, but they're not going to. It's only one, three out of the four will, but we'll see. It's going to going to be a really exciting week 17 next week to start the new year. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, my predictions are, I'm going to say Cowboys win the AFC, or excuse me, the NFC East. I'll pick Green Bay to get the number one seed. And I'll say for the wild cards in the AFC, that's tough. I'm going to say Cleveland gets in. I say they win on their last week. I say they get in, then Colts and Titans. One gets the division, the other gets a wild card. I hope. I mean, or unless Baltimore wins and one of them, either the Colts or Titans both lose or something like that. I don't know. It's a lot of math to do. But anyway, it's exciting. That's all that matters. A lot of tiebreakers, a lot of scenarios to go through. So that's week 16. Always gets crazy this time of year in football, but that's what makes it fun for the fans like us to go through. So when we come back here on sports and stuff, I'm going to talk about some basketball. Basketball just kicked off this past week. I'll talk about the Celtics' first three games. And a little later on in the show, we'll recap 2020 as best I can on this show and in society. We'll be back with more sports and stuff after these words.
Proud sponsor of sports and stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. This is our Best of 2020 edition. We hope you're enjoying it so far. And want to thank our sponsor. We had a really nice partnership this year with Magic City Highlight. We want to thank them for all their wonderful highlight videos on the show. And we'll be starting up again with them real soon at the beginning of the new year, around February or so. So we'll let you know when that happens. But we want to thank them for partnering with us this year. Been a great sponsor to us on this show and for EPRN. So we thank them. But as we continue on here, you know, one thing I got for Christmas actually was a book by Jerry Seinfeld. It's called Is This Anything? It's pretty much Seinfeld's autobiography. He wrote a book before Thanksgiving. I've yet to read it, but I will read it pretty soon. Yeah, Seinfeld's one of my favorite comedians. Him and Robin Williams are two of my favorites. It's funny to think what Jerry Seinfeld would think of this year. He probably would say, like, nothing happened. That's, you know, well, what is the big deal with nothing? I did nothing for 9 seasons on Seinfeld, and we're doing nothing in 2020 with the coronavirus. It's like, we just sit inside and wait for it to go away. Like, what are we supposed to do with ourselves? Like, that's what Seinfeld would say about this whole thing. I mean, I just kind of deal with it, but he probably would just be very whiny about the whole thing or something like that. I get paid from Seinfeld reruns, like, what's up? for the residuals to write my book or something. I don't know. Yeah. You know, he was actually on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon on Thanksgiving night, and they had fans actually imitate him in his stand-up routines that he writes in the book. It's actually pretty funny. That reminds me, I actually might add one feature of that to an extra for my podcast. I'll think about it. But anyway, as we continue on here, let's talk some basketball here before I get off the rails here. Basketball started this week. A lot of Christmas Day games, and the Celtics were one of them, playing the Brooklyn Nets with a healthy Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and they really just slaughtered the Celtics. It wasn't even close. Brooklyn may be for real this year. They're definitely going to emerge as a front runner in the East. They were not that way last season, but this year they think they might actually make a statement. They look very good. But the opening night game that the Celtics played against Milwaukee was a heck of a game. Great game, a very evenly matched game between two teams that have had a hard time getting far in the playoffs in recent years, or coming out of the Eastern Conference, I should say, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. Both don't seem like they've made a whole lot of changes, but the Celtics, they added Tristan Thompson, and the Bucks added, I believe it was Jrue Holiday to their team. They don't look much different other than those additions. They pretty much play the same way they did last year. But other than that, it was a great game, very evenly matched. Jason Tatum hit a game-winning three-pointer off the glass and in. He banked it in with 0.4 seconds. It was a wild shot. I went nuts when it happened. Still gets me excited just thinking about it. But the referees almost blew that game for the Celtics. Like, I have to get a little biased here for a second. They called a horrible call on Tristan Thompson on an inbounds play that the Bucks were trying to do underneath with less than a second to go. They call a foul on Tristan Thompson when he clearly didn't even touch Giannis Antetokounmpo. Superstars, they always get the benefit of the doubt. But they call a ticky-tack foul. Antetokounmpo goes to the free throw line with pretty much almost on the clock. All he has to do is hit two free throws. The Bucks were down by 2 points at the time. All he has to do is hit both free throws to tie it and send it to overtime. Makes the first one, but missed the second one, and the ball game was over, and the Celtics hung on by 1 point. Whew, that was close. The referees almost blew that, but thank God they didn't. Jason Tatum with the game winner. With 0.4 seconds, what a shot that was. I mean, if there had been fans in that garden, then they all would have went nuts. I know they would have if they were allowing fans into the seats. But still, a great game to start the shortened season off for the Celtics. They lost very badly against the Nets on Christmas Day, like I said, and then Sunday evening against the Indiana Pacers, the Celtics almost stole that game at the very end. They stole an inbounds pass down 1 point to go up 1 point at the very end, and then the Pacers hit a game-winning shot with about 8.4 seconds left, and the Celtics missed their chance on the other end as time ran out. So one game they do win, one game they don't win. So in terms of games they actually could have won, They're 1-1. I mean, they could easily have been 2-1, but because they've lost these last two games, they're 1-2. So, I mean, it's only three games in, so I'm not going to worry. But still, two close games so far for the Celtics and a blowout loss. So, but still, they look very good. I think they're going to win a lot of games. But like I said, the Nets, I think, even though they're just starting, they look dangerous. I think them and the Bucks are going to be and the Celtics will probably be the three best teams in the East this year. Toronto may be up there as well. We'll see. The Lakers are going to look to try to repeat this year as NBA champions. They might do it. They might make it back to the Western Conference, to the NBA Finals, I should say. The Lakers pretty much still have just about the same team from last year. You know, got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis, got Rajon Rondo, and a lot of talent, a lot of explosive talent. So that should be fun to watch as the winter goes on. So that's kind of the NBA for you in a quick couple minutes here. Not a whole lot to talk about, of course. They're just getting started, so not much has happened yet. But the Brooklyn looks to be an early story here with a healthy Durant and Kyrie Irving. Indiana Pacers scored a lot of points their first couple games. They beat the Celtics, like I said. They look like a good team. Miami Heat, you know, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last season. I think they'll be back in the playoffs again this year. Eric Spoelstra is a very good coach. I don't think they're good enough to win a championship, but they're definitely a tough, scrappy team, as they showed against the Knicks last season in the playoffs. They're not the most talented, but they've got a lot of grit in them. I think that was the difference between Boston going to the NBA Finals and going home. So the Celtics are still growing, but I really do want to see them come out of the East this year. They're trying to, and I really hope they do, and they get it done. Yeah, Brad Stevens has been the coach for, what, 7 seasons now? I mean, it's their turn to come out of the East. Yeah. So, anyway, I'll have a lot more basketball to look forward to throughout the winter. We'll take another break here on sports and stuff, and when we come back, I'm going to recap some of our favorite moments on the show this year, as well as, 2020 as a whole. We'll be back to wrap up the year and the show right after this.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTWatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
Happy holidays, folks. This is our end of the year edition of Sports and Stuff on EPRN and all of our other many media platforms out there. Wherever you're listening, hope you're enjoying yourselves. And boy, I cannot wait for 2020 to tell you. I think everybody else can't wait either. But boy, what a year it's been just as a whole between the coronavirus and the Black Lives Matter, the racial issues, just craziness, just complete craziness. And a lot of uncertainty, you know, a lot of some fear in people as well. Thankfully, that's been resolved with a vaccine that has come out now. But boy, what a crazy year it's been. And you know, it impacted me as well because, you know, I mean, for those that are regular listeners of this show, it was hard for a while not to, you know, talk about sports. I mean, I had to find a lot of stuff to talk about that wasn't sports related, so it was actually a bit of a challenge for me personally, but I got through it. You know, I persevered. I didn't complain. I did my job. And we also had some entertaining guests on the show this year as well. I think my favorite guest of the year personally, if I had to pick one, was Ellen Adair. She was a doll, just a delightful guest. Such a great actress and a wonderful lady with and is really smart about baseball too. She's really a passionate baseball fan and loves her Phillies, and has been on MLB Network quite a few times as well with her husband. So she's out there in the sports world. So it was a pleasure having her on, and she even recited some poetry, which you can listen to on our app for. So that was always a treat. And we had some many other good guests on as well. Dave Clark was one of my favorites as well. He pitched with polio on crutches, actually. Him and his friend Doug Cornfield were nice enough to join me one week and to share their story. So that was nice of them to get some attention. And you know, when those two happened, you know, with Ellen and Dave Clark. You know, it really said to me that my podcast was really taking a big step forward and that people were starting to notice it. So that was encouraging. I was very happy about that, personally. And my friends Mark and Samson were on at one point. It was funny earlier this year from this past season Super Bowl. It was funny, you know, my friend Mark, who was was a guest, you know, I didn't mention this at the time, but he actually was actually had quite a few drinks that night. He was surprised he was able to function, but he got through it. You know, he survived, and we had a decent show. But one of the tragic stories of 2020 wasn't even the coronavirus. It was Kobe Bryant, you know, dying at the beginning of this year. You know, dying in a plane crash. That was a huge loss for the basketball world. You know, basketball lost a few people this year. I mean, Kobe Bryant was one of them. But the other two that come to mind more recently this month for the Celtics were Tommy Heinsohn and Casey Jones. Tommy Heinsohn passed away earlier this month, Casey Jones passed away this week. Casey Jones was a longtime Celtics player and Celtics coach. He coached during the Larry Bird days and with Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. Everybody loved playing for him, from what I've heard. Everybody thought he was the nicest guy, very well liked, just treated everyone with so much kindness, which we need at a time like this, I think. So rest in peace, Casey Jones and Tommy Heinsohn. I mean, Heinsohn got a lot more attention just because of his personality and how big of a legend he was in Celtics lore. Won so many championships as a player. Got inducted into the Hall of Fame twice as a coach. Both him and Casey Jones did, which very few people have been able to do. You know, Tommy Heinsohn was 86. Casey Jones died at 88. So, very sad for Celtics fans. And on another note, speaking of, you know, celebrity deaths, unfortunately in 2020 we lost a few hosts that I was very fond of growing up. Those included Alex Trebek, Tom Kennedy, Regis Philbin, and Hugh Downs. Those were the four that passed away. But the hardest one that hit me was Alex Trebek. That was a tough pill to swallow. I had looked up to him for, you know, a lot of my life. I remember as a kid watching him every night. So that was a little hard for me. But the others were just as hard in their own way. You know, Tom Kennedy was a legendary host as well. Regis Philbin from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and his talk show morning. You know, Hugh Downs did Concentration for years. Was on NBC in the 60s, I think, going back. Was on ABC to 2020 with Barbara Walters for a number of years. Yeah, it's funny how the numbers were kind of ironic for Hugh Downs. You know, he retired from 2020 in 1999, but yet he passed away in the year 2020 at age 99. So it's kind of interesting how that worked out that way. but yeah, he lived a great long life as well. Almost made it to 100. But so I had to acknowledge those people. But also, you know, as this year went on, personally, I grew and evolved as a person. I mean, as I continued to do this podcast, I've also become very involved with business. I've become an individual business owner for a major company. I run my own website, and I am currently working with a brokerage firm that helps families with life insurance, which I'm very excited about. There's a lot of potential with that. But I made the switch from thinking like an employee to really understanding what it takes to be an entrepreneur. I learned a lot as a person. I have that mentality as an entrepreneur more now than ever before. And that's going to really serve me well in 2021. I see myself having a big breakout year. I got a lot of stuff that I hope to accomplish that I've built on from 2020. And I'm very confident that with the people in my corner that are going to help me, those goals are definitely attainable. So watch out, world. Here I come. And on another note, before we wrap things up for this year and for the week, I want to take this time to thank all the hardworking men and women at Exquisite Podcast Radio Network who you don't see or hear about, but work so hard behind the scenes, getting our content on the network every week and trying to work with businesses. I mean, there's a lot of people you don't hear about, so I'm going to take this time to mention a few of them. First of all, I want to thank our CEO for another great year of work, Garland McLaughlin. He's the one that does all the work behind the scenes, editing the shows together, putting in the background music, all the commercials. He's the one that does all that, so thanks, Garland. You're great at what you do. He was responsible for getting Magic City Hi-Li as our one of our main sponsors for my show, so I really thank him a lot for listening. Thanks to all the podcast hosts who stream content every week. Thank you guys so much. We added an app this year for our network, for Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. We've got our own app up. You can listen to any of our shows on there. We're always continuing to add more. But like I said, thanks to Garland. Thanks to a lot of people. You know, it might take a while to actually list all the people, to be honest with you. There's too many to list. But for those that are, you know, play an important part in this network and the future of it, you know exactly who you are. So for that, I thank you for that, for all the work we're doing. We're on the rise, folks. We're definitely trying to reach greater heights and be the main go-to podcasting network, and we're definitely making great strides to that. So you know, without your help, without you listening and deciding to want to have a podcast of your own, you know, we wouldn't be in this position. So we thank those that have joined on this year. So thanks to everybody behind the scenes here at EPRN. 2020, I should say, was a rough year, of course, but 2021 is going to be better. I know it will. We're getting a vaccine. We're getting a lot of hopefully smaller businesses will start to rebound, and we'll get more sponsors for our network, but more importantly for the businesses themselves. Hopefully they'll get back up and running and get back to work. They can't be shut down forever, and I don't think they will be shut down forever. We will get back to normal. We will be okay. We just need to hang in there a little longer until everybody gets vaccinated, and just stay positive. We'll get through this. I mean, we already have been, so just keep going a little while longer, folks. That's all I can say. And so on that note, we're going to wrap it up for 2020. Have a happy new year, everyone. God bless you. Stay safe. And the next time you hear from me will be in the new year, 2021. Thanks so much for listening to this year, everyone, to all of our great shows, to Sports and Stuff, and all of our other podcast shows. For the last time in 2020, this is John Meisner signing off for Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to EPRN and all of our other many media platforms out there. Wherever you're listening, Happy New Year. Take care.